ninth candle, chapter 19, verses 3. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Basta Eko Vane Kaschid Vichinvan Priyamatmana Tadarsha Kupe Patitam Svakarma Vishagama Jam Basta Eko Vanekaschi Vachinban Priyamatmanaha Dadasha Kupe Patitam Svakarma Vishagama Jam Bhastaiko vanekaschit Vichinvam priyamatmana Yadasha kupe patitam Sakarma vasagamajam Vaishnavi. Basta, goat, echo, one, money, in a forest, kaschit, some, vachinban, searching for food, priyam, very dear, atmana, for himself, dadarsha, saw by chance, kupe, within a well, patitam, fallen, sakarmavasagam, under the influence of the results of fruit of activities, a John, a she-goat. Translation. While wandering in the forest, eating to satisfy his senses, a he-goat by chance approached a well in which he saw a she-goat standing helplessly, having fallen into it by the influence of the results of fruitive activities. Purport. Here Maharaj Yayati compares himself to a he-goat and Devayani to a she-goat and describes the nature of man and woman. Like a he-goat, a man searches for sense gratification, wandering here and there, and a woman without the shelter of a man or husband is like a she-goat that has fallen into a well. Without being cared for by a man, a woman cannot be happy. Indeed, she is just like a she-goat that has fallen into a well and is struggling for existence. Therefore, a woman must take shelter of her father, as Devayani did when under the care of Sukracharya, and then the father must give the daughter in charity to a suitable man or suitable husband. Father must give the daughter in charity to a suitable man, or a suitable man should help the woman by placing her under the care of a husband. This is shown vividly by the life of Devayani. When King Yayati delivered Devayani from the well, she felt great relief and requested Yayati to accept her as his wife. But when Maharaj Yayati accepted Devayani, he became too attached and had sex life not only with her, but with others like Sarmishta. Yet still he was dissatisfied. Therefore, one should retire by force from such family life as Yayati's. When one is fully convinced of the degrading nature of worldly family life, one should completely renounce this way of life, take sannyas, and engage himself fully in the service of the Lord. Then one's life will be successful. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksuran Malitan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupakata Mayam Dadati Supadam Tikam Vande Guru Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gorade Pushpavanto Chitro Shandotamo Nudo Baste ko vane kaschid vichinvan priyamatmana dadash kupe patitam sakarma vasagama jam. Translation again. While wandering in the forest, eating to satisfy his senses, a he-goat by chance approached a well in which he saw a she-goat standing helplessly, having fallen into it by the influence of the results of fruitive activities. Here Yayati is narrating his own story, basically, in the form of a goat analogy. It's pretty funny. Okay. But Bhagavatam is pretty funny, actually. At the same time, dramatic and cutting. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to quote one verse from 11.3, Krishna spoke. And it's a nice verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I could say it's, you know, by a limited amount of reading of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that we could do in one life, that I would say it was one of his favorite verses, or he liked that verse. He quoted it, I've seen several times. And that verse describes Balanam Anushasanam, that, what does it say? Paroksha Vara Vedoyam Balanam Anushasanam, that sometimes, not sometimes, but many times within Vedic Bhagavatam or anywhere, medicine is given, and just as the child and the general mass of humans are Balanam, Bala means a child, innocent, but at the same time stupid, sometimes has the import of being just, you know, a bunch of numbskulls. So, just like the Shruti fall, it gives some kind of, yeah, if you do this, just if you read, even in the, many times in the Bhagavatam, if you read about Prithu Maharaj, it says at the end, you'll become a great king. But throughout the Vedic and other outside the Vedas, even in the West, they do that. Parables, and it's candy coated. Oh, my dear child, if you take this candy, Or the medicine is actually considered not very important. Just take this candy, but first just take this little medicine. Actually, the main thing is to give him the medicine. So here the medicine is also given. And for devotees, it's actually funny, you know. He's taking like he's a goat. You know, it's actually funny because he's comparing himself to a goat and household life in general to goat life, which is funny. We take it very seriously. Prabhupada also used to quote Shraddha Yudhe, this was Baba Rambe Lagu Kriya. This is one of the, if not Chanaka, but a similar shloka where it said that when goats start fighting in the forest, when a sage has a Shraddha ceremony, or they have a funeral ceremony for a sage in the forest, it's not going to be very big time because he's just living in the forest. And if he knows anybody at all, it's just going to be similar type guys who can't really do a huge jugya or anything like that. And then goats also fight. They just get together, go, oh, and Prabhupada said, oh, bomb, bomb. They just bomb with nothing really. At the end, they just walk away and nothing really occurs. Once in a while, somebody might get hurt. And he says, kalaho nasti chaiva, that when householders fight also, they have big arguments, screaming, yelling, and the next minute they forget all about it. You know, they're just, oh, well. He says, Bhavarambe Lagu Kriya. It starts off really big, but then in the end, it's... So this example is given of the goat. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ajagalastan Nyaya is given also that the nipples on a goat, the material energy appears to be creating things, but actually this is the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead upon the material energy, that anything's going on. Vrishtika Tandula Nyaya, another colorful example, just like this, that within rice, scorpions come out, so people think scorpions are born out of rice. So we might think that this material energy is coming out by itself somehow automatically, but it's actually has no potency, it's just glanced upon, just like the nipples on a goat. So this goat analogy is there a lot. Got a goat's head in the fourth canto? Huh? Daksha. He also got a goat's head. But he still could speak wonderful prayers through his goat's head. And even Bhrigu, very respectable deva, he got the goat's beard. So this is, Shiva did this to insult him. It's not considered very good. So when we take into account of all this goat analogies, we can understand that Yayati, being a wise king, he's comparing himself to a goat is not too flattering to himself. But at the same time, we're all getting lessons reading the Bhagavatam that we're all like these goats involved in material energy. Sarat pad botsavam bhaktanam vachascha shavanamritam. So although Kashyapa Muni, he's speaking the verse I just said, that when he was seduced by his wife Diti, he spoke that verse. But at the same time, a goat is a female. The verse actually says, Sarat Padmotsavam, the goat lady's face, I mean the human lady's face, is very beautiful, like the blossoming lotus in the autumn season. Padmotsarat means, Sarat Padmotsavam, Vaktram, the face, is very beautiful. And Vachastra Shavanamritam, the words are very beautiful. So obviously this goat, he saw this female she-goat in the well, and he was thinking, now we hear a goat, and we just hear some weird noises, and we're not very attracted. There might be, how is it? Is it? There used to be a few, Manu used to keep goats on the farm here, some little baby goats. Never got too many big ones. And they were cute, though, little ones, baby ones. Like that, like a little lamb almost. So it's kind of cute, but, I mean, we wouldn't have any sexual attraction. But the female goat, the male goat, I mean, he's very attracted. Like the ass. You know, we see asses. We don't see many asses here, but it's described, Svavid Barahostra Karai Samstuta Purusha, in the second canto, that the ass is... female braying attracts the male ass, but he gets kicked in the face. You know? But we don't think it's too nice. We wouldn't go up to a female. Well, maybe somebody does, but generally humans don't go to female asses or goats like that. So, but they themselves in that species are very attracted. So Yayati is saying there's no real difference that, like Prabhupada used to say, human beings construct a huge hotel, great endeavor, maya sukaya baramud bahato vimudham. They're vimudha, not just mudha means ass, gadha, ass, but vimudha means specifically, one time Prabhupada said, 1,000 times worse. When a human acts like a donkey or a goat, he's actually 1,000 times worse because he's been given this human form to take up spiritual life. Yes. To get out of this material entanglement, but instead he's becoming more and more entangled. The human being is supposed to be a kavi. This talabhyate tugavat anyata sukam kalena savatra gabhira ramasa. One who is intelligent, he doesn't endeavor. This is one of the first verses we read in, well, second canto, but throughout, begin from the very beginning of the Bhagavatam. We understand this is the meant for the Paramahansa. Nigamakalpataruogalitam palam. We're getting the fruit of the Vedas, and the fruit of the Vedas is Bhagavatam to get us out, cut our attachment to this material world. Cut our attachment. So the more we read Bhagavatam, we find these things humorous and entertaining. At the same time, we can understand, well, I'm still acting like a goat, but it's funny. So Bhagavatam is very palatable. Dravasam yutam pibata bhagavatam. Therefore, we're drinking again and again. Pibata pibantiye bhagavata. We're meant to drink it through our ears. It's wonderful. So, although this appears kind of strange, I mean, if somebody read this the first time, say you gave them a 9th canto or something, what if you gave them a 5th canto and they read about the forest of enjoyment? Oh, what is this? Household life? The man in household life is just like a guy in the forest trying to get cheap wood and stones and sell them in the market. And then when he takes up household life, their whole life is house. That's it. Material world means if it's just not attached to one goat. Here the word is interesting because aja means a female goat. And the first word is referring to the male goat, a regular goat, basta. Busted, but there's female goat, aja, although sometimes they're used interchangeably, I suppose. So, but throughout Bhagavatam, just see, 4th canto, 5th canto, it's just pounding it into our heads from the very beginning that this material life is not the happening thing. You have to get out of it, not in the heart. So here, it's interesting, at the last line, sakarma visagam, jam, that by fruit of activity, the results. Now, we generally don't think of a goat. Also, he has his fruit of results, but he's applying it to himself here, Yayati. By fruit of results, vidyaya, evam mana karma vasham pranktiya vidyayatmani upadiyamani. Throughout the in the 5th canon, when Rishabhdev was instructing his sons, there were many people listening, especially as it was meant for his sons, although Prabhupada remarks that the sons were already very elevated, but still he was instructing them. He talks about fruit of activities, that the mind, eva mana karma vashan, is colored by these fruit of activities, and it bringing us to newer and newer bodies. He gets a newer and newer body. Rather than get out of the material world, Prabhupada says that also, that if you don't take up this philosophy, you think it's very dry, no taste for it, then the result is that we have to again take up material life anyway in another body. We may become a goat, we don't know. Maybe that's be lucky if we were, some of us might be, we think we're lucky if we become, especially if we're a goat and we get delivered by Yayati or something. Is it some kind of devotee? But the idea is to get out of this material world. Don't become a goat. Komaramachara pragya dhanama bhagavata aniha. Prahlad Maharaj also speaking to his friends, from the very beginning, one should take this up. Komaram, 4 or 5 years old, but to speak of older. So as we're aging more and more, we can see that this attachment, this is the knot of the heart. So Bhagavatam, especially we just mentioned Rishabhdev, several times I see that throughout his instructions, I notice 4 times minimum, he mentioned Hridaya Grantham. Mahatsevam Dvaramahorva Mukte. If one doesn't take shelter of the Mahats, Mahat is, in this case, Prabhupada is giving Bhagavatam and his succession from Prabhupada going back, we see Sukadeva Goswami, Sutta Goswami, they've all taken up Bhagavatam philosophy. Narad Muni is giving Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, the most respectable, intelligent persons, they have recommended, get out, extricate yourself, don't stay in this mundane life. And what to speak of Yayati, it says here, he became more entangled, not only Pumsastriya Metuni Bhavam Maitam Tayor Mato Hridaya Grantam. Not only does it say that Pumsastriya, when the man and the wife get together, then ato griha kshetra satapta bitar janasya moha. He's in illusion. As it says, the goat, we'll hear the whole story, but he's kicking up dirt. He has to provide for the female goat. So Rishabhdev says, the human being, he does exactly the same as the goat. Pumsastriya mituni bhavam etam teor mito hridaya grantam. Because the knot is in the heart. Hridaya grantam ahu. Then, ato griha, he has to get a house. Maybe a goat can't get a house. He tries to get some kind of shelter. All animals and birds have their nests and different animals. They live in under the ground. Sometimes, because we live in the country, we can see these big holes where some smaller holes, smaller animals, and there's big holes where these other guys are going in armadillos and other types of animals, big holes. They're finding a little place and they have their families, life. Pumsastriyamituni bhavmeta, tayormitol hridiyagrantamahu. Hridiyagrantam, this is the knot. So Yayati, his knot was even tied tighter and tighter because he not only had Devyani, then Sarmista, and mentioned so many other queens. This is the nature of this material world, that whether one is... So this is always like a well. And Kapila, when he gives his teachings also, he talks about the well, Andakupa, Trinaikupam Ivavrata. It's not only a well, but it's covered with grass, so you don't see it, and then... And then you're screaming. Unfortunately, everybody else is in a well, and they're all screaming. So there might be someone who's not in the well. So the guru is someone who's not in the well. Andakupa. Nirjal Maha Andakupa. I've tried to find that verse this morning, but Raghunath Das Goswami, I believe, he has one of his prayers, a very amazing prayers. When you read that, it's just amazing, his prayers. Maha Davad Sampa. There's another one I saw. But this great material opulence, he considered it like nothing but a well, a dark well, with no water, near Jala. At least if you go in a well, you try to get some, it's a well, there might be some water. But he's saying, is it dry, dark well? And he described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had delivered him and put him in the care of Sarup Damodar, taken out of the well. Ditch, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described, he said, don't mind, Raghunath, but your father and uncle are just like worms in the stool. What they consider pleasure is actually just stool because they're so attached to material. So they were considered praya Vaishnavas or praya bhaktas, almost like bhaktas because they did so much service. They were like neophyte devotees. But you see, Raghunath's father was so attached to Raghunath. And the mother, what to speak of the mother, Sribir, she was so attached. Get Raghunath, tie him down, do something. He's trying to escape to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What should we do? Finally, the father said, what can we do? He's a madman. He's a madman for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We cannot stop him. We already gave him the most beautiful wife. He's got unlimited money. Lives in a palace. How are we going to stop him? And one day he tricked his guru, Balaramacharya, who had asked him to please do this particular service, he said, okay, yes, okay, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. So he actually tricked his own guru even, and he escaped. And then they sent all these men, 10 men, and couldn't find him. He was being guarded constantly, so his father was very attached. This is a struggle for Indian devotees. In the West, it's a little different, but Indian devotees, their parents are very, if they're not devotees, they may be pious, but very attached to household life. How Prabhupada once remarked that one gentleman, life member, he was presenting different children in front of Prabhupada. This is my daughter so-and-so, and this is so-and-so, and this is so-and-so. And then Prabhupada said, this is my sex life. So although it's in the guise of something very pious, but for Prabhupada it was... So even Prabhupada himself was saying that, oh, I thought it was very horrible, I would have to give up my household life. So we don't know. Prabhupada was not so attached. In fact, Prabhupada wanted to get a second wife at one time because his wife was so, as we say, such a drag. And ultimately, she sold Prabhupada's Bhagavatams and for biscuits or who knows. Crazy stuff. Later on, she became much more advanced. She was chanting. And still, Prabhupada provided some rupees. He didn't completely neglect his household life. In fact, I was in Prabhupada's room when his son, Vrindavan, came in one day, right late 77, or, you know, a couple of months before Prabhupada left. And because his son was, so Prabhupada was, anyway, his son came in there and he was trying to sell Prabhupada's books. He couldn't sell any of them. He kept taking more and more money from Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, you've taken so much money. Now, every time I give you more, a full, what am I giving you money for? You're not selling anything. Forget it. He said, and you cannot even keep good health, because he was coughing. And the import was he was smoking. Prabhupada had a way of saying something that was very cutting. You know, he could say something, you're not even keeping good health, you're coughing. In India, I guess it's understood when you're like, you know, that's, anyway, I think his son understood it. Then Prabhupada said, but I'm leaving you so much money so you won't starve in the street. So still Prabhupada took care. This is the great mercy. Mahat Sevam. Some association with the Mahat. Mahat Sevam Dvar Maharvam Muktes. If one doesn't take the service of the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavat, the living human Bhagavat, person Bhagavat, then Tamo Dvaram Yoshitam Sanghi Sangam. He has to enter a different door. The Mahat Sevam Dvaram Hor. If you want liberation, you enter the door that is being opened by the Acharya. And if you want to go to hell, Tamal Dvaram, what is the three gates to hell? Kama Loba, Tata. These three gates, lust, anger, and greed, then you can do that also. Vimanya va suhrido daiva mishtam. Actually, when Kashyapa Muni was instructing Diti, she wanted to get, just see, he was telling her, you should worship Vasudeva, and he had all this mode of goodness and pure goodness things he was saying, but she was interested in just getting back because her sons, Hiranyakashipu, such darlings, and Hiranyaksha, been killed by Vishnu. She wanted a benediction. So he said, well, okay, but for a year you have to follow this. And one of the very first thing Prabhupada says that he told her is, you have to be non-envious. Give up your envy. Manyava. Because this is one of the main features of the material world, envy. Everyone, and why do we become envious? I want this, I want that, whatever. I wish I could have this. And so-and-so has it. I like to have this. But nirmatsaranam satam. Bhagavatam is meant for those who are cultivating these qualities, non-envious, tatikshiva karunika, suridam, friendly to everyone. So we have to remain friendly to everyone. And we may not have to follow this vrata that Diti was taking up. It's very strict. Actually, she couldn't follow it. So in every canto, practically at every step of the Bhagavatam, we're being kicked, or forced, pushed, cajoled, joked. Here is a very interesting, funny analogy of the goat to get out of this material world. In fact, this when Uddhava was speaking, and also in 11th Canto, to Krishna, this is a story, the wonderful chapter about the Hamsa avatar, another animal species, or the swan. Krishna appeared as a swan. But in that chapter, Uddhava was asking about all these fruitive activities. Why do people, actually intelligent men, get entangled in fruitive activities? How is it possible? How can they become like Karajavat? Sva Karajavat. Sva means a dog, Kara is the ass, and Aja, we're reading here, the goat. Bunjate Krishna, he says, Natata Tata Bunjate Krishna. How do they try to enjoy just like an ass or a dog? Then Krishna said, narrated this whole story, and then Uddhava said, how did it? Can you explain it? And then Krishna explained the story of the four Kumaras, how they had asked, how are these fruitive activities entering into the mind? One day they asked Brahma, their father, that can you tell us how it is that we become so attached to the material objects of the senses that we don't even distinguish that the objects are outside. We completely identify with these material objects, although we ourselves are independent spirit souls. So they're enacting this pastime with Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma starts to think, Now remember, he's Adi Kavya, the most wise, intelligent person in the universe. He says, somehow or other I forgot. So at that time, then Krishna tells Uddhava, I appeared as a swan, and I explained everything. So, first thing this swan incarnation said, they asked him, who are you? The four Kumaras and Brahma, they're looking at the swan, and they said, who are you? And then the swan says, who am I? Well, if you're a Maivadi, you might not ask that question, because you'll think, you and me are the same anyway. And if you're a fruitive actor, you'll see only material elements anyway, and you'll think, who am I, material elements? And material elements can't talk, so why are you asking me? Earth, fire, and water. So it's quite a nice conversation to read over. Yeah, wonderful. Anyway, Bhagavatam is Vidya Bhagavatavadi. It's the unlimited ocean of knowledge. So in this, I'd like to look at this purport again here. Prabhupada's stressing here that the woman has to take shelter of a man. Prabhupada used to quote this. It's kind of very distasteful and politically completely opposite. What do they say? Politically correct. It's not PC. Prabhupada was not PC. it's not politically means, you know, doesn't fit in with the modern idea. Women want complete freedom, independence, and you said, just see, they want freedom, but they're not getting freedom. They're being exploited by men. And he says the men have actually propagated this. The women themselves, they're also propagating it, of course, now. But originally, Prabhupada says it must be pushed by men because men want free. Why pay for prostitutes? Let's create a whole race of prostitutes. That originally women were much more chaste. In this Kali Yuga, they're becoming independent. But what happens? They're the ones who have to go for the welfare check, Prabhupada said. The men leave them. They're getting pregnant. They have to go begging. Oh, give me food stamps. Give me this. Give me. Prabhupada said, we will become a laughing stock also. It was brought to Prabhupada's attention. You know, of course, he noticed so many people, marriages breaking up. Prabhupada, first, he was arranging marriages. And then when people would say, Prabhupada, oh, we want to get married, that's okay, you can get married. A temple president would propose it, let them get married, I have nothing to do with it, but, you know, he said they simply break up. But in Los Angeles specifically, and in Vrindavan, Prabhupada had mentioned, we don't want single women going there. Householders could come with wives like that. In L.A., there were so many already women abandoned, Prabhupada said, we will become a laughing stock. And it so happened that one devotee was working in a welfare office, and he reported that in L.A. Something about food stamps. And anyway, then he was praying to preach to the people there. And they said, well, Hare Krishna, well, I know so many Hare Krishnas are coming. Or maybe the other person was working in the welfare office. So many Hare Krishnas come here, women, and they're just single women. So you must not have a very good... He wouldn't listen to the preaching because he saw so many single women coming to get welfare and food stamps. So we have to be so careful. This is also big preaching. Just like one doctor, this is very controversial, but it happened. One doctor told a lady devotee, he said, isn't it that you don't have, you know, the women are supposed to be chaste and there's no abortion in your society? And they said, yes, that's true. And he said, yeah, well, actually, I've done quite a few abortions on Hare Krishna ladies. Anyway, so this is not preaching. This is completely opposite of preaching. This is not what Prabhupada's saying here. So these things are going on. They've happened. So everything that we do is preaching. Therefore, Prabhupada said, you go out in the street, we shouldn't become Paramahansa immediately. No Tulsi, no... He wanted people to go out. Because when people see someone dressed like a Hare Krishna, then, they ask, oh, what is that? You're wearing this. You have tilak, you have neck beads, and so many accoutrements of the devotee. But it's easy to slip in by sense gratification. Then we can do the opposite of preaching, give Prabhupada a bad name. You know, we don't want to do that. These servants can sometimes do that. And the master gets the blame. Prabhupada said, Swamino Nadanda. There's one expression. It's in the sixth canto, I think. Prabhupada mentions that by so many in the fourth canto. Prabhupada talks, fifth canto, about so many monkey. I have so many simian disciples, like sannyasis here. Prabhupada's recommending getting out, becoming sannyas. He said, but so many sannyasis have given up sannyas, and giving themselves such a bad reputation. Sometimes the devotees were so bad that probably there was one particular person, probably gave him sannyas. He said, everyone was shocked. The Prabhupada was giving this guy sannyas. I remember we were all shocked. Oh, so-and-so's getting sannyas. How is it possible? He's such a, you know, sense gratifier. It turned out that Prabhupada said, yes, you take sannyas and come with me or go to hell with all your women. So, I mean, that's pretty heavy. That he's not qualified at all, but he's giving him a chance. So Prabhupada was doing like that, giving a chance. Always trying to, because he thought this guy's going to go to hell anyway, I'll give him one chance. So this is the Bhagavatam, this is Prabhupada, he's giving the straight sauce. Is there any more discussions?
In the purport, Prabhupada used the word force, by force. What was he referring to? What force is that, and how is that to manifest? You're near the end of the...
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Once you try by force. you like that, Madonna? Huh? See, he's going to be talking about that for a while now. Well, probably, like we talked about that a little. He felt that he was a little bit for, like his... Oh, I'll read it again. Okay. It says here, therefore, one should retire by force from such family life as yayatis. Probably it's kind of funny about that. Like when he came to Vrindavan and he couldn't, you know, he was being carried in the last stages. And he said, well, now I must be liberated, probably. Because I can't, you know, I've definitely given up sex, and now I can't even eat. So, obviously, Prabhupada didn't have to be forced, but he also said that his guru, through my god brother, he forced me to give up. I think he used that word, isn't it? Who remembers? He forced me through this god brother. He was having this repeated dream, where Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is saying, you take sannyas, and he's handing him a danda like that. And the Prabhupada said, oh, I thought it was very horrible. But then his godbrother also we're saying you should take sannyas. And then it's like family life was completely yasyaham manugraham yarasyeta dhanam. Everything was being taken away. Prabhupada was laughing, saying, now what is, where's my wife? Where is all my friends? It's simply a list of people. They're not interested in me because I don't have any money. Of course, later they became interested. Prabhupada's older son was trying to sue ISKCON, saying that he owned ISKCON. That went on for some years, actually. Anyway, of course, Prabhupada had nothing to do with it. Trying to say, no, my father wasn't a sannyasi. He couldn't have been. I'm by primogeniture, I own ISKCON. So this happens sometimes. So by force, one is sometimes put into, just like many times, the Avanti Brahmana, he's saying, you know, pushed by his fruit activities. Purava, we just read about Pura, Yayati, you know, by force. It's almost by force. It shouldn't be force, but you know, we have to force, otherwise we'll be vegam, we pushed by our material pushings, vacho vegam manasap. If we're up, we want to be either pushed by our senses or we have to be pushed by the guru. He's trying to push. Prabhupada used to push us. Right now, who's push? Who's pushing? Get out, get up. People don't get up. Prabhupada's not there to push force. But if you're thinking of Prabhupada, then you'll get up in the morning, then you'll want to go out and preach, then you'll want to read Bhagavatam, then you'll want to chant your rounds. If you're meditating on the guru, this force is still there, but we're not perceiving that force. But Prabhupada always felt that force of his guru. He always felt it constantly and with great relish. Yes, my guru has forced me. And from the very beginning, as soon as he saw Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, you're educated. Did he talk to him? No. Did he look at him? Yes. Did he know who he was? Maybe exactly. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He said, you're educated. Prabhupada hadn't even said one thing, you know. You go and preach. You should learn English and go preach. And he was telling, he told more than Prabhupada. He told a lot of people. Only Prabhupada took it up. You don't have to recommend him. He'll do everything. He knew. So, but that force is gentle also. But sometimes it's a kick, right? Beat 100 times in the morning with a broomstick, or shoes. Forcefully, with great force. Anyway, but we should force ourselves. Force is with you. Anything else? Where's the mic man? Oh, okay.
It's okay. A couple of things. The one thing, though, I don't think we should make those people feel like they're displeasing Prabhupada if they are having food stamps and they need to take care of their family, especially mothers taking care of their children. I think Prabhupada would be sorry that our organization is not able to do that any longer. And if they need that, then there are 40 million Americans right now on food stamps, so it's not going to be surprising if some of our devotees are also, you know, and some people who've given their whole life, they come to the end of their life and they're finding no resources, no help. So I don't think people should have to feel guilty about that. And the second point, I've always wondered, because we always talk about you reach 50 and then, you know, the man takes sannyas, but we see in our movement that's not happening. And I always wondered about that, but then I read a purport where Prabhupada said, actually, sannyas is only for the brahmanas, that the kshatriyas, the vaishyas.
That was Prabhupada's son's point, that Prabhupada was a kshatriya, not a brahmana, therefore he couldn't take sannyas, therefore he owned ISKCON.
Oh, really?
Anyway, that's another thing. But
so, you know,
but Prabhupada gave people who were from the lowest strata of society sannyas, hoping that. He also said, "You, none of you are fit for sannyas. It's just like when there's a war and the soldiers are all, there's a shortage of soldiers, so every fifth man becomes a lieutenant, or every fifth or tenth man has a position of authority over there. He's also not experienced, but maybe he's a little bit of leadership." So Prabhupada told the sannyasis that one time. He also said, when he had a practically the biggest sannyas initiation in 76, if you go back and listen, Prabhupada said, So we have already have so many sannyasis. Some of them are doing very well, he said. But if you listen carefully, he says, some of them are doing very well. And then you see in before this, in the eighth canto, the story of Gajendra in the third chapter, that Prabhupada, you know, famous purport, that he said, the Western boys are not fit. We have seen the Western boys are not fit for sannyas. Of course, this came after, this is the ninth canto. But eighth canto, he already said that Western boys we have seen are not fit for sannyas. So go figure what that means. Right. No, Prabhupada also gave that famous statement, hope for the best and expect the worst. So that kind of covers a lot of, you know, yeah, we give you sannyas and we hope, we wish, Prabhupada's praying, he's giving all the wishes, but what can I do if they don't follow?
Even those 5 years that they were a sannyasi and they were preaching, they did so much service during that time that...
He also said there's no particular credit if one gives up sannyas, yeah. Which is a nice way of saying you really might do something bad. You know, it's a bad example. Vantasi means to eat. So we have to be really careful nowadays. The ISKCON machine, system, they make you wait, like that, 5 years, 10 years, depending, you know. You have to make sure that your family's taken care of before you take sannyas. You can't just jump out and take sannyas. So many precautionary measures, because people are a lot older. Prabhupada gave guys 20 years old sannyas. So, I mean, even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, oh, you have taken sannyas, you're such a handsome young man, and 24, why did you do that? It's crazy, you know, why did you take sannyas? So, yeah, I don't know, I must have been a madman. But anyway, please instruct me. So after he spoke for 7 days, then Sarvabhauma said, well, you didn't say one thing. He said, yeah, well, did you understand Vedanta Sutra? And he said, yeah, I understand Vedanta Sutra, but not that what you're saying is just a bunch of babble. But, yes?
I heard on a tape the other day that about giving sannyas, and Prabhupada said it's usually, I'm paraphrasing, that we could die at any moment. So just because you're 22 doesn't mean that you can't die tomorrow, so take up your spiritual life with all you've got now. And that was another one of his reasons.
So even when Prabhupada was there, people were giving up sannyas. Like one guy wanted to become a professor. And Prabhupada said, why do you want to be a professor? So many professors. How many sannyasis are there? He said, this is simply foolish. But he still did it. He's still preaching, though, even now. Go on, probably encourage, even if you have to take up household life, you go on fighting with material energy. So, anything else?
A couple of things. One that you mentioned are about the Indians, devotees, and in one of the incidents, I was in a Hyderabad temple. In 76, one of the devotees, he was from Punjab. And so he joined the movement, young kid. And then his parents, they were chasing him, He was in Bombay. So they went to Bombay. Then he came to Hyderabad. So
they came from Punjab to find him?
Well, he joined the movement. I don't know. I think he joined in Delhi. But then he went to Bombay because his parents were chasing him, young kid. So then he came to Hyderabad. So finally, they came in the temple. Then his mother come. She see him with the shaved head. She fall down from the temple floor unconscious. So finally, this devotee, what he's supposed to do? He just told his mother in the ear, if you become unconscious, I will come back with you. So somehow she came unconscious and he left.
She came conscious, you mean?
Yeah, became like, she was... fainted, unconscious.
Then he left.
Yeah. So anyway, and then the other thing about you saying about the household, like there's nothing wrong, you know, to become a householder, because all of our Goswamis, you know, if you see, they were the householder. As long as someone is not a grahamedi, but grahastha, you know, like you see the story of Maharaj Prithu, Mother Archie, you know, and then Kardama Muni, and all these, you know, all, I mean, they were the great saint. So Prabhupada says in the different purport, he says, like, you know, he mentioned in one of the verse, he quoted about the Malaya Chandanam.
Kardama Muni, he definitely gave up, you know, well, household life.
But he says in Kali Yuga, you know, like if someone is taking care for his kid and wife, make, you know, making them Krishna conscious and living Krishna conscious, practicing Krishna conscious, that is equivalent to sannyas. Because also one of our god brother, you know, they, he was appointed as guru without mentioning the name, you know, so he was forced to take sannyas. I mean, his wife was doing very nice service. They were both doing nice service. So what happened? He was forced to take sannyas, and then she split. And I saw her in a Haridwar, Rishikesh, in 78. I was doing book distribution. And then somehow she said, you know, I passed the book. She said, oh, Haribo, what's your name? So she asked me, so I asked her name. She said, well, I'm this person's wife, and he's acting as guru. She said, I was doing very nice service. And, you know, he was forced to take sannyas, and which I'm not too happy about. So then she joined some yogi ashram in Rishikesh. So the point is, like, sometime, you know, like something, I mean, like, you know, if someone is trying to do service with their varna and ashrama, I mean, it's like if they are happy with that, so we should not force, you know. I mean, Brahmananda Prabhu told me, he said, Prabhupada told him that, he said, look, I'm giving you the highest award, you know, like in the Vedic society, the highest award is sannyas. So he says, I was young, Prabhupada awarded me sannyas, and he says, I use my whole young age, and I serve Srila Prabhupada. So it's like, you know, I mean, Prabhupada gave, you know, he knows that this is not like something, I mean, Mahaprabhu didn't recommend sannyas also in this age of Kali Yuga. I mean, but if someone is practicing, they can practice, it's very nice. But there should not be any force, you know, like when we say, oh, this is Maya. So that means I'm in Maya.
Not force, but Prabhupada just mentioned force.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Prabhupada didn't impose, he didn't really impose, you know. But in like according to circumstances,
but he forced
Prabhupada
everyone to be sannyas mentality, just like when Gopal Krishna came in household clothes to the airport. Mm-hmm. He was apologizing, oh, Prabhupada, I'm sorry, I have my household. He had suit on, right, in 72 or something. And then Prabhupada quoted first verse from 6th chapter of Gita, Yam Sanyasam Iti Prahu Yogam Tanvid. No, what's the first one? That one who lies doesn't, Nana Agnina Chakriya, not that you do nothing, no, but you're as good as a householder. So he wanted everyone, just like brahmacharis were all getting up, forced. They were forced. Prabhupada said, you can't live in the temple if you don't rise before 4 o'clock. You don't do the sankirtan, then they can't stay in the town. There was force. They weren't wearing sannyas clothes. Householders had to act the same. All the rules for sannyasis and brahmacharis from the seventh canto, like 14, 13, whatever, at the end it says all of them are meant for householders as well. It's really heavy if you read that. Wow. The only difference is householder might have a wife. He sees her like for an hour or two a day maximum. So Prabhupada says, at one point, once you give up this stupidity of household life. He wanted it, he encouraged it. It's true, but doesn't mean, yeah, you're condemned. But we're seeing this purport now, today, and what the import is, that's all. There's a million things in our philosophy, just like Prabhupada said, you know, Western boards are not fit. Yeah, one more thing.
Two little comments. The original question was, which force? You know, what is that force coming from? And
that's too long. We're going to end it.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying we're always being forced. Everything we do, we're being either
taxed.
Forced
like that one person said, it's very taxing to chant. Prabhupada said, you're being taxed at every moment. Sit down. Anyway. All right. Jai. Where's the Bhagavad Gita?